Dying Blood Bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm Blood Bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I'm free indeed.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks in Branson, near Branson, Missouri. Actually, we're out in the boonies, and you better get a map before you come out to us.
All right. Yeah.
But we're online, and we've got a map online. You can call us 1-800-972-3447, get directions. But I want to give you a new prayer assignment that has been given to us. I want to tell you about it. I've been in Australia and Hawaii for a month ministering, and then we had Christmas, so it's been a while since I've been online. And I did write this in a partner letter, in my end-of-year partner letter. If you're not on our mailing list, I try to keep people up with blogs as well. You know, we've got an eye on what's happening, current events. And this prayer ministry that we have here at Prayer Mountain, when I first came out here in 1995, I came out here as a result of a vision, a trance, that I had been in February at Winter Bible Seminar, Kenneth E. Hagin. And they call it, if you want to watch it on a DVD, When the Spirit Gets to Moving. And there was, I'm telling you, that night, they also, it was 84 wooden chairs were broken that night.
Wow.
As men jumped, and praise the Lord, your Uncle Bob jumped, and one broke under him.
Wow.
And, but I was lying on the floor, and I was having a vision. And in that vision, I saw the inside of what later now is Cabin 2, the Halverson House. And I saw a wooden cabin, a log cabin. And I saw an iron bedstead and a rag rug by the floor. And the Lord told me he wanted me to come here. He said, Branson, Missouri is the place. And he told me why. And he said, I want you to raise up a place of prayer for two purposes. One, to pray in the plans of God. Number two, to stop the strategies of the enemy. He showed us places. He showed us to build cabins for private prayer. And then he said, have a place for corporate prayer. Mm-hmm. We had no idea in 1995. We walked out here, your Nana, my mom, and Pawpaw came. Pawpaw wasn't able to walk in the brambles. Mm-hmm. So he sat in the road out there on a little chair he brought with him. And Mother and I just went through the bushes.
Wow.
We had no idea in 1995 that one day you could have a prayer meeting that reached around the world from here.
Wow.
This is the boonies. And so that was 1995. By the year 2008, we had the chapel. We're praying in the chapel. And that's where God's presence moves in on us and tells us to pray in an awakening. And so we started praying. Actually, we're recording this January 14, Wednesday. It was 6 years ago today that we began praying online, streaming online, had prayer people around the world joining us.
I didn't even know that today was 6 years and that we went online praying for an awakening and how God talked about, we got to pray for that outpouring from all around the world. It's just amazing how it connected like that. I didn't realize that.
Yes, and then he showed you that about what happens when an awakening comes.
Yes.
I hadn't really seen that in chapter 19. That was an awakening.
An awakening to God.
And so now he has given us a new prayer assignment, the worldwide prayers. That's what they call themselves, the people that pray every Wednesday at noon from around the world. But this is really a prayer assignment for the body of Christ. And I'm going to present it to you like I did in my newsletter. I mean, it's not a newsletter. It's a partner letter. We can give you a copy of it. I think we've got it online. So I said, a new prayer assignment. Oh, where do I begin? Well, for some time, the thought that we need to increase prayer has been passing through my being. 24/7 prayer. But how do we go about it? Some years ago, this is the need for such prayer. Some years ago, my son Terry was mowing out here at Prayer Mountain. As he rode, he communicated with the Lord. and he was thinking about discouraging developments, particularly in our country. He asked aloud, how did this happen? How did we come to such a state of affairs in the United States? First, his ears were opened to the realm of the spirit. He heard a gavel drop, you know, like in a courtroom.
Yeah.
He heard a gavel drop just before each one of several statements, such as no prayer in schools, Roe versus Wade, decision after decision, the gavel would drop. Then he'd hear the voice. And the other biblical, anti-biblical decisions that I haven't named, the gavel's blows were so loud and seemingly so final that Terry dropped his head and cried out, "Oh Lord, then how have you kept us?" Next, his eyes were open. He had a vision. He saw what he described as a little old lady praying. She reminded him of Rachel Tiefenthaler. And he was made to know that God has kept us through the prayers, the intercession of the saints. God needs the prayers of the body of Christ on earth for him to enact his plans for what the Bible calls, quote, the end of days. There is coming the day of the Lord. And in that day, when Adam's lease is up, God will sovereignly perform what he has written in his book, especially in the book of Revelation. But until Adam's lease is up, his sovereign will is to honor what he gave Adam, the authority which was Adam's, was usurped by Satan. Now it is restored to the body of Christ through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But as John Wesley said, it seems that before the Lord can do anything on earth, a man must ask him. So that's the need for such prayer. And I'd been thinking for a long time, we need to have 24/7 prayer. I know God put that thought in me. But how to? How to do it? I contemplated on how to do it. My thoughts traveled. It wouldn't really work to increase prayer here on the mountain to 24/7. We would just have a bunch of tired people. These faithful prayers already travel long distances to come out here twice a week for corporate prayer. And besides, this needs to be united prayer from a far wider scope. It needs to come from around the world, from the worldwide prayers. I remember in the 1980s, there was a strong movement to urge people toward prayer. And the man who was really kind of headed it up was encouraging them, everybody around the whole world, all, especially in America, to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray. And they were doing it in lots of churches. They were coming down 5 o'clock in the morning. Brother Halverson, who prayed on the highest level of anybody I've ever known, and you can get from us, you can hear Brother Halverson's prayers. You can get a book of some of his prayer adventures, you might say. And also we have tapes of him praying. Oh, my goodness, when you prayed with him, you'd pray about the news before it happened. And Brother Halverson told me, he said, this isn't going to last. He said, pretty soon all you're going to have is a bunch of tired people. He said, I have the night watch. Now, he prayed on a high level. He said, I'm praying all the night. He said, I can't be up at 5 o'clock in the morning going down to a church for prayer because I've been on the prayer watch all night. He slept in the mornings. Brother Hagin was one who, while he was sick, lying on the bed of affliction, as he called it, he developed a nighttime prayer life. So I was contemplating this. How do we do it? How do we do it? And a plan began to form within me of how to do it. I talked it over with your mom, Brenda, and she said, Mom, that's the Lord. Then I got one of those Gene Wiseman telephone calls. You know, he's a little prophet that God sent our way.
Yes.
And they are usually after he has had a dream, for the pattern of the Lord's dealings with him is in dreams. And here is what I wrote as he talked. He said, I had three dreams in one night. The first, Gloria Copeland was in it. She spoke three words, energize the prayers. In the dream, I knew I was dreaming, and I thought, I have to remember those words. She spoke calmly, as she always does, but there was an unction on this phrase, energize the prayers. After the dream, I woke up, got up, and meditated on the dream and on those words, energize the prayers. He went back to bed. He had a second dream, and in it were Ron and Terry Chapman, our longtime prayer leaders out here at Prayer Mountain. They're now in New Mexico. They had a look on their faces as if they were having to press through something, as if they had to push themselves to grab every ounce of strength to push on. I awoke, Brother Wiseman said, meditated on the dream, and thought of how the people in the first two dreams were associated with you and with the WWPs, the Worldwide Prayers, and prayer from Prayer Mountain. In the third dream was a pastor. The expression, Brother Hagin, the expressions of the people, the pastor too was trying to get something through. The expressions of the people in the second and third dreams were so unlike them, Brother Halverson wrote, Brother Wiseman said, that I realized they were representative. The Chapmans represented the prayer movement. The pastor represented small churches. The next day, Brother Wiseman looked up the word energize. Some of the meanings he found were to impart energy, to make energetic, to set in motion. I, too, Billy Brim, looked up the word and found the following. In Noah Webster's dictionary, to act with force, to operate with vigor. The online dictionary said to energize. Give somebody or something energy. Make or become active. Supply with electrical power. The thesaurus gives the synonyms of energize as invigorate, strengthen, boost, galvanize, motivate, animate, empower, revitalize, rejuvenate, pep up.
Wow.
Noah Webster's 1828 definition of energy is internal or inherent power, the power of operating, whether exerted or not. As men possessing energy sometimes suffer them to lie inactive. Danger will rouse the dormant energies of our natures into action. Brother Wiseman told me that every so often something comes on him to encourage those who might be taking the prayer movement lightly. He said emphatically, the prayer movement has to be kept alive. He spoke to me and said, you have an energy to impart. So here's what God told me to do. Make a round 24-hour clock. Divided into 30-minute pie-shaped segments. Prayer warriors will sign up to pray one of those 30-minute segments. The prayer is to be in the Spirit in tongues. We are to enter the 30-minute segment with no agenda, no subject of our prayers. That kind of prayer is for another time in the day. This prayer will be to offer oneself totally to the Holy Spirit to pray what God once prayed. He has a great need for certain utterances to be made in the earth. And so we're asking people, we've already had more than 700 people sign up. We're asking people to volunteer for a 30-minute segment in tongues. And if they're like me, we have 300 and some who've done that, but we have over 400 floaters. I'm a floater. I just have to find the 30 minutes in the day when I can pray, because I'm not on a regular schedule. And so I'm going to talk to this to you more about the mechanics of this tomorrow. And as for now, this is Billy Brim and Brandon saying Shalom, Shalom. Call us at 1-800-972-3447.